podcast about movies, memories, and refreshing beverages. I'm Eric Fell.
And I'm Jason Dedrick.
And I'm Vicky Bear.
We are going to be talking about 1974's The Life and Times of Grizzly Adams, starring Dan Haggerty and directed by Richard Friedenberg. So, The Life and Times of Grizzly Adams. We all remember this movie from our youths.
Nobody remembers this movie. I'll take the brunt right now.
No, I was watching it and I'm like, I think this was on one of those Sunday Disney movie things, and I was preoccupied with something else. Preoccupied, that's how you say it. It was something that was on in the background. Either that or it had some. I was watching it and thinking someone's gonna sell me granola or something soon. Like I remember some ad that was like, "This is Grizzly Adams."
Iced tea. It was iced tea. There were Dan Haggerty iced tea commercials. Oh, either Nestea or Lipton, maybe Nestea.
Of course. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Then I just saw the iced tea commercials.
But you might have seen The Capture of Grizzly Adams, starring Dan Haggerty. You might have seen Frontier Fremont, where Dan Haggerty plays a mountain man. You might have seen Grizzly Mountain, where Dan Haggerty plays a mountain man, unrelated to Grizzly Adams, or you might have seen Escape to Grizzly Mountain, which also features Dan Haggerty as a character unrelated to Grizzly Adams.
The weirdest. Everything's so weird about it. It's so
weird. But you remember seeing it.
Well, we were talking in our after show,
our
previous episode. And if you subscribe on our Patreon, $100,000 gets you access to after show, which is what we talk about after the show. And we were looking for movies to do, and I said, I popped into my head that the first movie I ever saw in the theater was The Life and Times of Grizzly Adams, and you guys said, all right, let's try it out. And so I went home, and I found it on YouTube, and I watched it, and I said, oh, I gotta email the guys. I gotta say, I don't, if you want to do, I don't know, you want to do Popeye? Can we do Popeye? But it's so interesting because Eric often has a story where he's watching it and then Katie gets to watch it and then she has, an epiphany or some profound thing about it or just the fact that she watches it because I can't get Jennifer to watch anything. She has watched nothing. You know what she watched? The Life and Times of Grizzly Adams. I had to go back and show her the beginning because she came in late. She was fascinated by it. Anyway, I don't know. This movie. Holy cow.
Yeah, Katie does watch every movie that we do.
Yes.
When I started Life and Times of Grizzly Adams, Katie said, oh, I hope you have a good time. And I sent her a series of texts while the movie was happening. And she said, this is the best way to watch it. I'm going to read some of these texts.
Oh, my gosh. Save it for riff tracks.
We'll start with... here are the top 10 highest grossing movies of 1974, and it's number 9.
Wow.
It did better than Murder on the Orient Express, which is at number 10, but not quite as good as The Longest Yard. keep in mind, it did better than The Man with the Golden Gun.
Wow.
Yeah. So yeah, it was in the top 10. It was a massive hit.
Yeah.
And then I just write things like, now he's teaching a bear to fish. Now there's an extended slow motion, good natured wrestling scene. Now he's making new pants. To which she replied, this is a wild ride. And then I wrote, since then, he's eaten grass stew, run from a bear, and now he's splaying on a raft. And then I just wrote, rapids. The narration is so on the nose. And then I wrote, what the F, he's throwing Ben. To save him from rapids, holy F, he really threw the bear. Big Milo and Otis vibes.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, now there's a folk song. His daughter, now an adult, has shown up. And then I just explain the ending. I guess we should talk about that. Vicky, you've done yours. Oh, I'm in a fugue state. I don't think I've woken up from this film. So the premise of the film is Grizzly Adams is a man who is accused of a murder he didn't commit, and so he runs off into the woods. And you know this, not from any sort of you know, montage or scene or anything. It's him walking out of his house, and you just hear, "My name's Grizzly Adams. There was a murder. They thought I did it, so I'm abandoning my daughter. Hope she understands. Bye." And yeah. Then 10 years pass, and then at the end of the film, the adult daughter shows up, and you're like, oh, oh my God, he's missed his entire, like his daughter's entire life. And he's you know, built a cabin. And then he says, she says to him, "Oh, they caught the guy who really did it." And he says, "I know." And like, what? And she goes, "Well," and then they play on a teeter-totter with a bear.
Oh,
because,
Ben.
Because he's got a bear named Ben, named after Benjamin Franklin. And then she says to him, "Well, please come back with me." And he goes, No, I like being by myself. I like here in the woods. And he looks her in the face and he says, "I love you more than anything else in the world." No, you don't. You know what you love more? Being in the damn woods by yourself. You're a deadbeat dad is what you are. You'd rather be out splaying on a raft than raising your daughter. And then you think, oh, well, you know, she goes away. You're like, oh, maybe she can visit him. She knows where he is. And then the narration goes, "I packed up and moved the very next day. Because if she can find me, others could too."
Yeah.
But they're not looking for him.
They're not looking for you?
He's just, yeah.
He's also apparently famous as the guy who lives with a bear in the forest. So, like, Nakoma must have been running his mouth about this.
Yeah, Nakoma goes into town. He's made a fortune off this story.
And not a dialogue-heavy film.
No.
I think it was shot without sound, and then everything was put in later.
Yes.
But the narration is so on the nose. It just like, and he walks up to a tree. "And then I walked up to a tree. And you see a shot of a raccoon. And there was a raccoon there." That raccoon is hanging off a branch.
for 5 minutes.
Yeah. I fell asleep the first time I watched the movie. I dozed off. And I woke up like, oh gosh. And I rewound it. And then I watched the scene again. I dozed off at the exact same spot. And I woke up. And this happened 3 or 4 times. And I need to tell you, this was the 5.5 minute mark. This was 5.5 minutes in. And I kept falling asleep. I could not believe it. And it's just this shot of a sunset. And then I would like close my eyes. And next thing I know, he's like playing with a baby deer. And the whole movie is just him just dicking around in the forest for 90 minutes. But over the course of 10 years.
It's tight 90.
Yeah. His beard gets no longer.
No. No, and he knows how to sew and make tassels and make fancy pants.
Those were fancy pants.
Those were fancy pants.
Yep, I made pants.
So many questions with this movie.
I know.
So many questions. Just,
I mean, I can see why it would do so well because it was it must have been a cleansing thing for Vietnam or something. This soft forest porn. Yeah. It's this soft forest porn kind of a thing. Just like,
yeah, Katie referred to it as, she said, "This isn't a movie. This is bear content." It's like a vlog, but it's shot on film, so it's like a flog. That's how it felt.
Yeah, it really felt like somebody was like, "Let's make a movie. Who do you know? I know this guy who just, you know, trains animals for movies." Yeah.
And he's got a beard that looks like a croissant made of hair.
And I think most of the movie was shot already before they got Dan Haggerty to do it.
Oh, wow.
I think he was a last-minute addition.
They were going to do it without Dan. We need somebody in this film.
They had another guy. In fact, there was one scene, I think, when Nakoma falls down the hill the first time. I don't think that's Dan Haggerty that comes up to see him. But I don't want you to watch it. I'm afraid you'll fall asleep. But yeah, I think they were somewhere. Because I saw a little connected YouTube blurb to it. And he was telling the story, but it was too boring. And I couldn't listen to the whole thing. But it was basically, the producer said, "This is the guy that we should have had playing Grizzly Adams." And they said, "Well, we got $10,000 more. Do you think we can get him to do all the scenes?" And so they did it. on the weekend kind of a thing and got the movie done. And so, yeah, I think it was almost completely shot with another guy before they got in Dan Haggerty.
And it spawned a 2-season-long television series.
Yeah.
That I was at I was looking for some discs, for some DVDs, and I saw the complete series, and Katie said, "Hey, I know what you can get Jason for Christmas."
Well, the reason that it was stood out in my memory, it's one of those childhood fears things that I had, was what I remembered all of these years was I was afraid that I was going to meet somebody, a buddy that was so close that we were going to have to be blood brothers. That stood out in my mind so much that I was going to have to, someone's going to say, "We're really good friends." I'm just like, "I don't want to cut my wrist and tie it together. We're not going to be blood brothers, are we?" I was afraid of this as a kid, that I was going to have to be blood brothers.
I was watching this wondering how many children went through this ceremony.
Oh, I had never seen the movie, but I knew about like Blood Brothers. I guess it obviously didn't come from that film, but I had heard of the term Blood Brothers. And it's like, we prick our thumbs and press them together. It's like, no, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good. I like my blood on the inside of my body. That's where I feel it works the best.
When it happened in the movie, in fact, I was disappointed because in my memory, I thought they had cut their palms and then put their palms together. And it was something like that. I mean, this is bad enough. Anytime you've got blood on blood.
Yeah.
With a dirty knife in the woods.
The life and times of Tetanus Adams.
I'm so happy that it's brought such joy to everybody, though. After all these years, this movie is, I think, a resurgence is in the future for it.
It definitely needs a riff tracks. That's what it needs.
Yes.
Because the jokes are just laid out bare in front of you.
Bare.
I mean, or a gentleman heckler's, I'm just saying.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, it's ripe for the pickings. That's for sure. What about that scene? I'm gonna pour some sweet water here because I don't drink anything else other than water. Did they make coffee at one point? I don't think they did. All right. The scene near the end, where he's being stalked by the cougar.
Yeah,
yeah. Because earlier in the movie, just a spoiler alert for people, there's a cougar stalking a guy, and it goes kind of bad. But now he's stalking his friend. Grizzly Adams is stalking his friend, the rabbit. But he's going to eat the rabbit. Mm-hmm. Rabbits. And this cougar jumps on him. And it's his friend, and his name's Charlie. We hadn't met him any time prior to this.
Anytime someone's in danger, it's, oh, well, you know, like, the cougar, well, I was a little scratched up, but I was okay. A black bear attacks him, well, I needed a new shirt, but I was okay. Coyotes attack his daughter, well, she had some scratches on her arm, but she was okay. And, like, nothing.
The stakes are so low.
There were so few stakes in this movie.
Sweetwater. Sweet water?
Oh, I'd love some sweet water.
That's ice. That's hard sweet water. That's hard sweet water. We also have some granola snacks here.
Nice.
to nuts and
berries.
To take care of our parched thirst and our hungry whatever.
I don't think he eats much of anything else.
Well, he has the grass stew that Nakoma made.
Mm-hmm. Nakoma, who's always just lingering in the background.
Yes, he kind of lurking around, living his own voyeuristic lifestyle.
Yeah, Nakoma ex machina. He just shows, there's some trouble. Oh, Nakoma's here. You know, maybe that means Nakoma's a more interesting character. What does he get up to? He just goes to town and goes, I have to keep saving this dingus who thinks he can live in the woods, but I just keep leaving all this stuff out for him. I have to bring his damn daughter to him. Pretty sure he killed a guy.
Yeah. Well, I wonder, did they actually say that he killed a guy or did he kill the mother?
It was just a murder that happened near his house.
Just a murder that happened near his house. And no mother around.
Yeah, it just happened near the house.
Oh, dear. Well, I don't know. As I say, it's one of those childhood memories. We went off to the White Rock Theater, and we sat and we saw it, and I feared desperately that I was going to have to be a blood brother. That was my takeaway from it. And I seem to recall that the Frontier Fremont, because in my little kid mind, it seemed like every year that this guy was going to do a movie with some sort of crazy character that lived in the woods and say, hey, that's just the same character from before. There was another little blurb that came up on YouTube Well, about a real Grizzly Adams that trained bears.
Mm.
But I think he died in Massachusetts or something after getting attacked by a bear.
Oh, I mean, you could halfway through the movie, I just started saying, I cannot show this footage. I will not let them listen to this tape. Yeah, there are some people who got the wrong message from watching this movie. We want to talk about movies with bad influence. I think there's some real Into the Wild vibes on this. I was like, oh.
How many small children went up to like wild animals and just got their faces ripped off or something? Like, Jesus. Other than the Blood Brother thing. So, not the most drinky movie in the world, other than the Sweetwater.
I'm going to have some right now.
Yeah, If we were going to... What kind of drink do you need to watch this movie?
I think I had scotch. It was 3 in the afternoon, so I had to go through a bottle of Bell's.
A pint glass of absinthe and NyQuil.
You don't need any NyQuil for it. You need a stimulus for this movie. You need coffee for this movie.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, like, look, what... What drink would capture the vibe of the life and times of something Grizzly Adams?
I think medicinal and herby?
Yes. And yellow? Or orange? Or brown?
Yeah. The only source we could find for this was Jason's YouTube source, which you can find on YouTube if you want to watch this film.
And you should.
Yeah. And the print, I mean, it looked like someone was projecting like a Super 8 version of it onto a wall, and they videotaped it on VHS and then uploaded it in 2005.
720p.
I think that was I'm pretty sure that was 360p. That was wow.
We could have tried to dig deeper. Yeah. Would that have made it better?
You know, maybe the nature shots might have been a little more lush with some Dolby Vision HDR, but
I don't think this is going to get some sort of remaster. I really don't. The cigarette burns were charming, but there were a lot of them, like more than you would normally have on a, like in various sections. Like, was this edited down or something? Like, because it would have a cigarette burn, then 2 minutes later, a cigarette burn, and then 8 minutes later, a cigarette burn, and then half an hour later, a cigarette burn. And it was like not making sense.
Well, for those of you who don't know what cigarette burns are, are they, it's my understanding that they're put on the release prints to let the projectionist know.
Yeah, you got to go to the next reel on the other on the other projector. So they start. It's two projectors going in. What do they call it?
Tandem.
Tandem. Thank you. So the cigarette burn lets you know. Okay, start the other projector.
Right, the little dot that comes up in the corner there.
Boop. But it was all over the place.
Yeah, maybe they shot this on like 8-foot reels.
Yeah.
Maybe the editor was a heavy smoker and he just burned randomly.
Just this movie. They were just rage, frustration burns. It's like, I could have been working on The Conversation. Which this movie did much better than.
Yes.
Which, because that's another 74 Sadly. Movie and one of my favorites. So.
Wow. Yeah, look at that.
Yeah.
It's a huge hit. I want it re-released in IMAX.
You know, it might do okay in IMAX because it's super chill and there's lots of gorgeous nature footage. I mean, that's essentially what the old Omnimax movies were like.
That's right. But beavers and everything else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what liquid do we put into our body that gives us the vibe of this film?
I don't know. I mean, I guess you could steep nettles in fresh spring water and drink that over the course of a week.
Nettle tea.
Some sort of tea drink might work because of leaves. What do we want it to be? An alcoholic beverage?
There's so
yes and no.
Because what I don't know this, either of you might know this, what alcohol goes with tea?
Oh, almost anything, depending on the tea. I was a tea sommelier in my former life.
Oh my gosh.
Right, so we've got a tea sommelier and we've got a...
drunk, a closeted drunk?
I was going to say, I would call you a mixmaster.
Because of my DJ career?
Yeah. Mixmaster J.
My brother-in-law, he drinks a lot of tea with Baileys.
Oh.
Yes,
okay, maybe not every tea. Not every alcohol goes with every tea.
A nice lemon tea and Baileys.
But there is a green tea that when you steep it, kind of looks like grass. It goes vertical.
Yeah.
And so that might...
I bet that with a little bit of honey and a little bit of bourbon would give you a nice orangey 70s transparent.
And as we all know, bears love honey.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Oh. I was so afraid of bears. Speaking of bears, can we speak of bears? This is another childhood memory of mine.
Well, you know, bears have nothing but nice things to say about you, Jason.
My brother was into scouting locations. He was into scouting, Cubs and Scouts. And so, again, as a kid, he's teaching me, like, hey, if you're ever chased by a bear, you know, it's just, and I forget what it was, so don't heed me, but it was either like, don't run uphill because their front legs are shorter than their back legs and they can run really fast uphill. Or don't run downhill because they will roll and they will pass you and then they'll run uphill after you.
Oh, please tell me that happened.
And I'm like, well, so what do you do? Well, you just got to climb a tree. But if you climb a tree, if it's a black bear, and again, this is wrong because it's confusing. A black bear won't climb a tree, but a brown bear will climb a tree. I said, okay, so if it's brown, don't go by the color. It's the name of the bear, the black bear and the brown bear. Brown bear can be black and a black bear can be brown. I was like, well, what hope do I ever have of getting away from a bear? Unless it's going to be the Julie Andrews hillside, I'm not going to know where to run. I'm going to be thrashing through prickles. That's what being chased by a bear is. Oh, I tell you, there was a lot of childhood memories tied up in this mess of a movie.
I mean, honestly, tea and honey and bourbon sounds
really,
really good.
Okay, what do we call it?
Hair of the beard that bit you. Final thoughts on the life and times of Grizzly Adams?
So many questions. Who takes care of Peg? How does his axe stay sharp for 10 years? Where does his ammo come from? When did he learn to make fancy pants? All sorts of things. But
does Nakoma help him make the fancy pants?
I made a new pair of pants with the buckskin that Nakoma gave me.
He tanned the leather. Nakoma tanned the leather.
Yeah, Nakoma, tanned the leather. For his pants.
But for a movie that's like 99% frolicking in meadows, it probably was really cheap to make. It's really inspiring as a filmmaker that you can just go out and make something with like a short list of things that you might have handy, like an animal wrangler and a camera and Dan Haggerty. Haggerty.
Who in the movie and then in the interviews that I saw in the 90s and early 2000s still wears the same jewelry all the way through it, like some kind of bone or fang or jade. I don't know what it was. There's something on him that...
I was reading up on Dan Haggerty myself. And two things stood out to me. One is a very non-Grizzly Adams thing. In 1985, he was arrested for selling cocaine to an undercover police officer. But the other thing was, during some downtime when they were shooting the Grizzly Adams TV series, I think, he's got a big beard, right? And he drank a flaming drink, and his beard caught fire.
Oh!
Yeah. As a beard owner...
That's the beard that bit him.
Yeah. As a beard owner, I know... not to do this. I feel like that's like maybe you shouldn't put things on fire on your beard, Grizzly Adams. So those are two things I learned about him that I found. One was like, oh, that's like surprising. I didn't, you know, didn't realize he had that much in common with Tim Allen. And and then just the beard thing. He got some bad burns on his arms by trying to put it out, but the idea of Grizzly Adams with his beard on fire of his own making. Of his own, dude, he didn't trip and fall. He's like, oh, I'll have this thing that's on fire and put it in my face.
That's the only thing that didn't happen in the movie. I figured there was going to be a forest fire and an escape from the forest fire. Yeah. But as you said, I think off mic, there's a threat all the way through this movie.
Of anything happening. Yeah, yeah. Things. This movie had things threatened to happen. It's like, oh, we're going to, no, we're going to, it's like, you know, when you watch a movie and you're like, oh, wow, this second act really sags. Imagine that saggy second act without the burden of acts one or three. I don't like hating on things.
I don't think you did hate this, though. I think you loved this. I think this has given you more joy than The Matrix ever gave you.
You know, it certainly was an experience that I and I was laughing a lot during the movie, but also swearing under my breath.
What is the genre, though? Because there was other movies about this time that you'd get a bear and a raccoon, and they would tie them together, and then they would put them on a raft, and they would film it. Like, there was
those were incredible journeys.
Well, yeah, you're right.
Those were incredible journeys that were remade in the 90s as Homeward Bound, The Incredible Journey, which then gave them voices.
Yes. Michael J. Fox, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. There was a lot of back to nature movies that came out around that time too.
Yeah.
And I think you're right. I think it was probably oh my gosh, Watergate, the new, you know, basically like verse 3 of We Didn't Start the Fire was going on. And they just, what's this? Oh, yeah, wouldn't it be great to just run away from all this crap and just go in the woods?
Sunshine and just frolic to befriend a bear.
Yes.
Don't introduce it to your daughter right away either. I think that was a pretty ballsy move on his part. Just somebody from the outside just to go.
Meet my friend.
Here's my 8,000-pound grizzly bear.
Named Benjamin Franklin.
Named after the wisest man I ever knew.
When did he meet?
Oh, no, never knew. Heard of.
Yeah. Heard of.
Never heard of.
Yeah, because I thought in my head, I was like, oh my gosh, did he say met?
He might have.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. But maybe this is a challenge to somebody. If they don't want to make the drinks in the show, you make the Grizzly Adams movie where maybe he has to escape from the posse that's coming. So there's a little bit of something there.
Yeah. There was 1982's The Capture of Grizzly Adams. Which was, you know, starring Dan Haggerty, and I did not look into it. So I don't know if it's like what the kids call a midquel, where it takes place right in the middle of stuff. Maybe it's like Rosencrantz and Guildenstern. It's about two hunters who just keep seeing Grizzly Adams in the background, like that Bigfoot footage. Oh, that movie needed a Bigfoot. That movie needed a bionic Bigfoot.
Wow. Didn't have the budget. Oh, look.
Oh, hey.
We've got visual aids.
I had to say Bionic Bigfoot. I'm wearing a $6 million man shirt because we'd be talking about mid-70s pop culture today. So I'm wearing a $6 million man t-shirt, which I love.
It's awesome.
It is awesome.
We should get a picture.
You know what also is awesome? Honestly, that drink. The hair of the beard drink.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And if you'd like to make that drink or any other Grizzly Adams related drink or, you know, have any movie suggestions for us, you can send that to sneakyd@sneakydragon.com. I'm Eric Fell. You can find me on the internet at Eric Fell on all your social medias.
I'm Jason Dedrick. You can't find me anywhere. Don't even try.
I'm Vicky Van. I'm at Shut Up Nerd and X or Twitter or whatever you want to call it.
Thank you so much, and don't forget, Grizzly Adams is available on YouTube
for free.
I dare you.